disciplines. If you've been here over the last few weeks, we've already had a few messages on different spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. And if you're not familiar with that term, what is a spiritual discipline? A spiritual discipline is simply something that we do in order to grow spiritually, in order to train ourselves for godliness. So far we've looked at the disciplines of Sabbath rest, generosity, prayer, fellowship. And then today we're going to consider the role of the Bible in our spiritual development. So we're going to talk about Bible intake, and I'll explain what I mean by that. But in 1521, there was a young German monk who was called before a formal assembly of the church. So there's a famous painting of this scene. So Martin Luther was that monk. He was called before this assembly, and all of his writings were laid out in front of him. And he was given a simple choice. Recant, retract everything that you've written, say that you were wrong, or be condemned as a heretic. So Martin Luther famously refused to recant, which meant that he was condemned as a heretic, and he was to become an outlaw, basically. He was to be cast out of the church and condemned as a dangerous heretic. So why did he make that decision? Why did he risk death in order to hold fast to what he had been teaching? So listen to the reason that he gave. He said that day, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in the councils alone, since it's well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." So Luther was a leader in what we now look back on and we call the Protestant Reformation. And there was a lot of things that were going on in the Protestant Reformation, but one thing that was happening was it was this movement that wanted to return to the Bible as the authoritative source of truth in the church. So we are a Protestant church. We're not a Catholic church, in case you hadn't noticed. And so as Protestants, we also believe, along with Luther, that the Bible should be the final authority in our faith and our practice. So what we believe and how we live. But there's a big difference between saying that, right? It's a big difference between saying that the Bible is our authority, the Bible is important. And there's a big difference between just saying that and living like it's true. So Luther once said this about his own practice of Bible reading. He said, "For some years now, I have read through the Bible twice every year. If you picture the Bible to be a mighty tree and every word a little branch, I have shaken every one of these branches because I wanted to know what it was and what it meant." Wow. I mean, we all know that the Bible is important, but how many of us actually approach this book with that kind of hunger to know what it says? So this morning, we're going to consider the discipline of Bible intake. And I'm calling it Bible intake because really there's a lot of different ways that you can encounter the words of the Bible and apply them to your life. So the most obvious one is just to sit down and read the Bible, right? But that's throughout the history of the church, there's been a lot of people that didn't have that option. And even today, there's many people who can't, either they don't have the Bible in their language or maybe they're illiterate and they can't read. But for us, I'm assuming that most of us are literate. We have the Bible in our language, so all of us can sit down and read the Bible. We're told that 87% of homes in the United States have a Bible in their home. So in theory, pretty much everyone should be able to read the Bible. But we can also listen to an audio Bible. We can study the Bible with others and discuss it. We can meditate on the words of the Bible. We can memorize the words of the Bible. We can listen to the preaching of the Bible. So those all fall under that category of Bible intake. So what I want to do this morning is simply encourage us to use any and every means available to us to take in, to understand, and to live out the Word of God in our lives. But it's not enough to just, you know, for me just to tell you to do it. You deserve to see for yourself why you should do it. So let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to look up 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll also put the words on the screen. But we're going to look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. We're going to hone in on those last two verses, verses 16 and 17, but I'm going to start reading in verse 10 just so that you get a sense for the context. So this is a letter, 2 Timothy is a letter from Paul written to his young co-worker Timothy, and he's encouraging him in this letter to remain firm in the faith, to keep on preaching and teaching the word of God in the church where he was serving. And so at the beginning of chapter 3, he warns him about all these false teachers that are out there and the danger that they pose. And then he goes on to say this, starting in verse 10. So follow along as I read verses 10 to 17. "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This is the Word of God. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what Paul is telling Timothy about the Bible. So he's telling him to stand firm against these false teachers that want to drag him and the church he's leading away from the truth. And really, he gives him two things to hold on to. So he tells Timothy, hold on to the example that I've given you in my life and in my teaching. That's one way that you're going to be able to stand firm. But also, hold on to the Scriptures that you've known since you were a child. And then in verses 16 and 17, he gives us really what I think is the strongest statement in the Bible about the Bible. So to borrow Martin Luther's analogy, in the time that remains, really what we're going to do is we're going to shake the branches of this passage and see what's there, what it has for us. And really, this passage tells us, I think, three remarkable things about the Bible. It tells us that it's God-breathed, right? It tells us that it's useful, it's profitable for all these things. And it tells us that it will equip us for the good works that God's called us to. So those are the three things this passage tells us about the Bible. But as we go, I want to draw out some thoughts about, if all of that is true, how should we read the Bible? How should we interact with it? How should we take it in? So first, let's look at this amazing claim that Paul makes, that all Scripture is God-breathed. I mean, what in the world does that mean, first of all? Like, what does it mean that this book is breathed out by God? Really, it's just a claim about, where did this book come from? What's its origin? So to say that Scripture is God-breathed simply means that all of these various writings, right, these 66 books that make up the Bible, these came from God. So here's how 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21 puts it. Peter writes, "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So you can see in these verses that really every book of the Bible actually has two authors. Right? So there was a human author. There's each of these 66 books has someone who took, you know, quill and ink and parchment and sat down and wrote in his own distinct style. So in this very real sense, the Bible was written by people. This is a human document, right? 2 Timothy was a letter from Paul to Timothy. But there's also another author behind every book of the Bible. So Peter tells us that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Paul wrote to Timothy what Paul wanted to write, but also in this miraculous and mysterious way, he was controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit of God so that what Paul wrote, God said. The words written in this book were written down exactly how God wanted them to be written. So we can say with confidence that what the Bible says, God says. Sometimes we call this the inspiration of Scripture. And it's why we call the Bible the Word of God. So I have the habit after I read the passage that I'll be preaching on, I say, this is the Word of God. So these words, not necessarily everything I say, this is my comments on the Word of God, but what we read in this book, this is the Word of God. We're not just holding paper and ink in our hands. These are the words of the transcendent creator of the universe, breathed out and written down so that we could hear his voice and we could know him. I mean, it's really amazing if you think about it, that God has spoken, that it's God's nature to communicate himself to us because he wants us to know him. And the amazing thing isn't just that God has spoken in the Bible, but also the fact that God is still speaking to us right now, today. He's continuously articulate. It's not just that God was in a speaking mood for a little while, 1,000 years ago, and we quick wrote down everything he had to say before he lapsed into silence for all the rest of eternity. But no, God is still speaking. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is living. It's active. So this isn't just a dead book. God still speaks to us by his Holy Spirit whenever we read the Bible. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 16, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what's mine and declare it to you. So because of the Holy Spirit, we hear the living voice of God in the Bible every time we open it and read. The Holy Spirit causes this written word to come alive. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you were reading the Bible or maybe you were listening to a sermon and you felt that God was speaking directly to you. Have you ever had that experience? I know that's happened many times in my life over the years, but just earlier this week I sat down early in the morning and I opened the Bible to the place that I was going to read that day. I was following a Bible reading plan. And I just opened up the Bible and I read. And I can't really explain it to you, but the only way I could explain it is that God met me there and he spoke to me. And I know that many of you have had that same experience, that you know what I'm talking about. And that's why we go to the Bible, not chasing a feeling, but we go to the Bible to meet God. Because it's where he's spoken and it's where he still speaks to us. So at the end of the day, right, we're not here talking about the Bible because we want to fall in love with the Bible. We're here talking about the Bible because we want to fall in love with God, and this is where we hear his voice. So if it's really true what Paul says, that Scripture is God-breathed, how should we read it? Well, we should read it expectantly. Anticipation, ready to hear the voice of God. Now maybe you know the story of Moses in the burning bush in the Old Testament, right? Moses is just going about his own business, taking care of his sheep, and then all of a sudden he sees this burning bush, but it's not being burnt up by the fire, and he gets a little closer, and then the voice of God speaks to him out of the bush. And I think deep down that's what we all want, right? We want to encounter God in this like dramatic, unmistakable way. And I believe God does do that at times. He still shows up in dramatic and unmistakable ways at times. But I don't think we've been promised that experience. I don't know if we should expect that experience. And I don't even know if we should go out looking for that experience. But what we have been promised is that all of Scripture is God-breathed. We have been promised that we can open the Bible and hear the voice of God. So do you want God to speak to you? And open the Bible and read. Read it prayerfully. Read it expectantly. Really, the Bible is our burning bush. This is where we meet God. Every time we open this book, we're standing on holy ground. The author A.W. Tozer once wrote this, that if you would follow on to know the Lord, come at once to the open Bible, expecting it to speak to you. Don't come with the notion that it's a thing which you may push around at your convenience. It's more than a thing. It's a voice, a word, the very word of the living God. So practically speaking, what this means is that at the very least, come to the Bible prayerfully. Before you open the Bible, take a minute and just ask God to help you hear His voice. And after you finish reading the Bible, take a minute and ask God and think about what you just read and ask God to help you respond to it. I mean, we all know that in a conversation, not all listening is the same, right? There's many different ways you can listen to someone. There's an active listening, and then there's just kind of like a half-hearted listening. So when we come to the Bible, we should really try to actively listen to God's voice. And I think God would love to answer those prayers. He loves to speak to His people. And that's what Scripture is. It's the Word of God. And because it's the living and active Word of God, Paul goes on to say in verse 16 that it's useful. So you see that in verse 16? He says, all Scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable. It's useful. Now the important question for all of us is, what is the Bible useful for? So when we open the Bible to read, when we sit here in church listening to a sermon, what should we be looking for? What should we be expecting to hear? And really, there's I think there's a lot of different ways we can approach the Bible. There's a lot of different things that people come to the Bible looking for. But here's three approaches that I think are pretty common. And the first one I'd call something like the moral instruction approach. Right? So the Bible exists to teach people, mostly to teach children, how to be good people. So I once watched a video that was it was a video encouraging parents to read the Bible with their children, which I think is a great thing. I mean, you see that in this passage, that Timothy was acquainted with the Scriptures since his childhood. What a gift that is. But I thought it was kind of strange the reason why they told parents to read the Bible with their kids. Here's what they said. There's a book you can read to your children that will make your job as a parent a lot easier. This book will teach them lessons in character, how to distinguish right from wrong, about gratitude, respect, and perseverance. This book, of course, is the Bible. And you don't have to be religious to read it. And your kids don't have to be religious to enjoy it and get a whole lot out of it. Decency, kindness, charity, selflessness, and sacrifice, they're all right there. So you see what they're saying? Basically, the Bible is like a book of virtues. You know, you go there to get instruction about how to be a good person. There's another approach. I've heard someone call it the Xanax approach. Basically, we come to the Bible because we want to feel good. The Bible exists to make us feel better. So the primary thing we should be looking for when we read the Bible is comfort, you know, inspiration, encouragement, a warm, fuzzy feeling. And there's another approach to Scripture I would call the magic eight ball approach. Now, the Bible exists to tell us what to do. We come to the Bible looking for guidance about life decisions. You know, we all want to know what is the will of God for our lives. So we say, I don't know, should I marry her? Should I take the job? Whatever question you have. And you open the Bible, see what it says, and you shake it, hear if it speaks to you, right? You come to the Bible looking for, what should I do? Now, the big problem with each of those approaches is that they assume that the Bible is basically about us, right? I mean, there's an element of truth to each one of those. The Bible does give us instruction about how we should live. The Bible does encourage us. The Bible does give us practical guidance about life decisions. But contrast all of that with what Paul says that Scripture is useful for. So he says in verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's kind of a different list. He says that the Bible teaches us. Because these words are God-breathed, we can know that whatever the Bible teaches us, it's trustworthy, it's true, because God is trustworthy. God is true. But what does the Bible teach us about? Does it just teach us about how to be good people? So in verse 15, let's read what Paul says. He says, that you know that the sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So really, these 66 books of the Bible are telling us one big story about who God is, about who we are, and about what Jesus has done to save us. So if you read the Bible and you come away thinking that really it's about, you know, how to be a good person, then and you miss Jesus, then all I can say is that you've totally misread it, because all of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all pointing toward Jesus. It should all be leading us to faith in Jesus. It's all about God's redeeming love for sinners like you and me. It's all pointing us toward Christ as our only hope for salvation. So the Bible teaches us. And in order to show us our need for Jesus, Paul says that the Bible also reproves us. Which is kind of a funny word. I don't use that word in conversation very often. But reproof, to reprove someone, basically just means to rebuke them. To give them a piece of your mind. And so the Bible, and especially the commands in the Bible, convict us of our sin. They show us our need for a Savior. So if you read the Bible and you come away thinking, wow, I'm a pretty good person. Huh, that's cool. I'm doing great at this. Then, I don't know, you've completely misread it. Because really, whenever we read the Bible, I think if we read honestly, it confronts us. It shows us. It exposes the sin in our lives and how much we need a Savior. So every time we read the Bible, it should lead us to repentance. And not only that, but the Bible also corrects us, is what Paul says. It straightens us out. It shows us when we're off course and it sets us on track. So when we read the Bible, it will challenge us because we all need to be corrected from time to time. And that's not a pleasant thing. I mean, who likes being corrected? Not me. That's not really a pleasant experience. But I also know that I need it. So no matter who we are, if we come to the Bible humbly, if we come with an open mind, I think it will challenge us. It will correct us. And finally, Paul says that the Bible will train us for righteousness. So really, the Bible is the most practical book in the world. It trains us to live the life that God wants us to live. God has a plan for each of our lives. He has us here for a reason. And He hasn't just called us to do something, but He's also given us the tools to do it. He's given us what we need to be trained to do it. So the end goal of Bible intake is never merely information, just to be taking in and taking in and taking in, but it's transformation. It's to live it out, to be the person that God wants us to be. So if our Bible reading doesn't lead us to change in some way, to any practical outworking of what this knowledge that we've acquired, then we've misread it, we've misused it. So if all that's true, then we should read humbly, willing to be corrected. Because really this list that Paul gives us of what the Bible is useful for, it's actually kind of insulting if you think about it. Because Paul is telling us that you are ignorant and you need to be taught. You are sinful and you need to be reproved. You are wrong and you need to be corrected. You are weak and you need to be trained. It's actually kind of insulting. So we need great humility when we come to the Scriptures. We come by faith, seeking understanding, open to receive that correction. Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of our country, he found a lot of parts of the Bible problematic. So he created what's known as the Jefferson Bible. He cut out all of the parts that he disagreed with, mostly the miracles and the resurrection of Jesus. He said, I don't like that stuff. Cut that stuff out. And then he pasted together a collection of what he liked from the Bible. It was mostly the moral teachings of Jesus and, you know, the commands of the Old Testament. So he created his own Bible, copy and paste, cut and paste. It's called the Jefferson Bible. And we might not physically do that with our own Bibles, you know, cut out the parts that we don't like. But I think we're all prone to that in different ways. We will just pass over or ignore the parts that we don't really appreciate as much or that we find hard to understand. But Paul says that all of Scripture is God-breathed, and it's all useful. Not just our favorite parts, but all of it, even the parts that are hard to swallow. And Paul says that if we approach Scripture with that kind of humble, expectant Bible intake, that we will become complete. He says all of this is for the purpose that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that means if we don't take in the Bible on a regular basis, we will be left incomplete. We will never be who we were created to be apart from the Word of God. And if we neglect Bible intake, we will be unequipped. We'll never be able to do what God has called us to do without the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 8, it says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So really, the Word of God, this Bible, this is not just information for us. This is food. This is our daily bread. This is what we need to live. Just like food is fuel for life, it gives us the energy and the nutrition that we need to live and to do the things that we need to do. This book is fuel for our Christian lives. As we take in the Word of God, it should be metabolized, so to speak, into acts of love, evangelism, justice, missions to all the world. What we take in should be put to use in our lives. Because God has given us what we need to do good works. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. But He won't do those good works for us. Right? He's given us the means to do what He's called us to do, but it's up to us to use those means. So when we approach the Bible, we should read it obediently, ready to live it out. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So it's not enough for us just to think high thoughts about the Bible. And it's not enough even to study the Bible diligently, to get out highlighters and, you know, write notes in the margins. The only proper way to use the Bible is to live it. Remember, Paul said that the Bible will train us for righteousness. And so the end goal of Bible intake should always be that we would be equipped for the good works God's called us to. So if Bible intake that doesn't lead to biblical living, it's like if you spent months training for a marathon and you put in all of the hard work and you ran mile after mile. And then the day of the big race came and you just sat home and you watched it on TV. What was all that training for? This is what you've been training for. This is the whole point. So let me get real specific. We've been breaking down this passage in 2 Timothy 3 for the last 25 minutes, right? Now, if this doesn't lead us to start reading the Bible or recommit to reading the Bible, or if this doesn't influence the way we interact with the Bible in some tangible way, then I don't know. This has really been 25 wasted minutes. So we all, each one of us, myself included, we all have room to grow in our practice of understanding and living out God's Word. And I'd encourage each one of us to think about what's a practical step I can take to improve in this area. But maybe you're sitting here and you're just feeling kind of bad because you've never really made Bible reading or Bible intake a consistent practice in your life. You're feeling discouraged about that. There's this Chinese proverb that I think is really helpful when it comes to Bible reading. It goes, "How do you move a mountain? One spoonful of dirt at a time." So start this week. This is a big book, right? My translation has over 1,000 pages. This is a big book. There's a lot of confusing stuff in here. But just get out a spoon and start digging. All right, just choose a book of the Bible. If you need a suggestion, I'd just suggest starting in the book of John. Choose a book of the Bible and start reading. You know, read a little bit, and then the next day read a little bit more. And even better, ask someone from the church to read it along with you and meet together afterwards and talk about it, ask questions to each other about it. I know that there are many people here who would love to do that with you. But never underestimate the power of the Word of God in your life when you do that. And in the lives of others. Just watch and see what God does in your life over the course of time. I remember there was a seminary professor of mine who once told us, everything God is going to do in the churches where you serve, He's going to do through His Word and through His Spirit. So really, as long as we have those two things as a church, I think we have everything that we need. There's a lot of uncertainty right now, you know, about what's going on in the world. But as long as we have God's Word, as long as we have His Spirit, we'll be able to do what He's called us to do. When someone asked Martin Luther how he could explain the impact of the Protestant Reformation at the end of his life, he replied and he said, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's Word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." really, there's a lot of things that we can do without as a church. You know, if this church building burned down tonight, we'd be okay. If we ran out of money, we'd still be all right. If we woke up tomorrow morning and every last bit of religious freedom in America had been done away with, we'd still be able to be who God has called us to be, because we'd still have the Word of God and we'd still have His Spirit at work in our lives. So let's pray and ask God for His help as we make this a priority in our lives to take in His Word. So Heavenly Father, we ask right now that You would help us to pay attention to Your voice, because there's a lot of voices in the world right now. Lord, there's a lot of messages that we hear every day. But Lord, we pray that You would give us ears to hear Your voice. In the midst of all of the noise, God, we pray for the intentionality and for the discipline to set aside time, Lord, to hear from You. God, we ask that whenever we hear Your word, You would make us humble. You would make us willing to learn, that You would make us willing to live out what You tell us to do. So God, we need Your help to do that. Lord, we need the help of Your Spirit. So we ask right now that You would help us this week as we listen to Your voice. Lord, would You speak in ways that we're able to hear? And would You make us who You want us to be by Your word? We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.